Have you ever gone car camping? No tent, no RV, no cabin, but a vehicle that you've converted from its normal purpose. Or maybe augmented is a better word. Ideally, it's spacious enough that you can stretch out and sleep without bunching too much, like a cargo van or a van with removable seats like mine. But I've seen people just camp in their car. Now that's roughing it. One year at Bonnaroo, I was staying in the nice campground with shade trees up close to the festival grounds, as opposed to the enormous campground with no shade, a long walk from the entrance. And I saw these radio station guys from Florida car camping. They weren't really using their car, though. They were just sleeping on the ground mostly. So I doubt they slept much. At Spring Skunk, I was car camping for probably the second time ever. The first time that I remember was at Green Acres some 20 years ago in the work van for my old lighting business. Add that to another thing Green Acres and the Skunk Farm have in common. I'll have to get to more on that later. Anyhow, this time was more pre-planned, and I took the seats out of my minivan because, you know, rockstar, which gave me the room to recline in a sleeping bag. Also brought an easy-up tent, a table, a stool, a lantern, and a candle, and I was all good. It was about 10:30 in the morning when I fully awoke inside the Town and Country. It was a sunny and crisp day, and I was surprised I slept that late. Plenty of time before music started, though. Welcome to Episode 2 of Southern Songs and Stories Podcast on the 2017 Spring Skunk Music Fest. That's Pretty Little Goat from around Brevard, North Carolina. I wound up camping near them, and as I said in the first episode, they played music all weekend. Their onstage performance was just the beginning. The rest of the time, they might have been picking at their campground, jamming with other folks at their campgrounds, jamming at the cook shack, you name it. There's a special status conferred to music lovers who can also play. I took 9 years of piano and a year or so of trumpet, but I never came close to strapping on a guitar. And pianos and trumpets aren't really useful around the campfire, even if I could still play them. Every once in a while at a place like Skunkfest, I'll be talking music with an artist, and they'll ask if I play. And I know that although working in radio is pretty cool, that being able to jam might be even better. It seems that way, at least.
Song here that we took to the studio a little incomplete, but we finished it just in the nick of time, and that's always a little dangerous, you know, you finish something in a rush to get it on a record. Normally I hate that in the end, and I never like to play the song, but we still like this one.
It's called The Hands of Man.
Coming to festivals because it feels like a small version of the kind of society we want to build, where you think everybody out there could maybe be your friend. So.
Thank you. up off your knees, build a bridge in a broken land. Drop your pride up your sleeves, all the hands of man, all the hands of man, all the hands of man, all the hands of man.
That's the band Stray Birds, the trio from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, playing the first set of the day. They played another set that evening with all different songs. Maya DeVitri, Oliver Craven, and Charles Minch worked with an outside producer for the first time on last year's album, Magic Fire, the multi-instrumentalist, singer-songwriter, and composer Larry Campbell. At this point, I'd arrived at that time when you're in the groove. You're fully immersed in the weekend, and all those worries or thoughts about work have faded away. It was festival time, and everything was looking good. There were plenty of friends, mostly new friends to talk to, lots of blue sky, friendly dogs, kids playing, and there was a couple of days of live music ahead. In the meantime, there were some more people I wanted to catch up with about the nature of this place. Hack was one of them. He's the volunteer staffer whose whole nickname is Hacksaw from Waxaw. Hack's Cook Shack is named after him, and it's where, as you can guess, all the food gets made.
It's very relaxed. The rules have been very slow to come. Our rule is try not to have rules, but when you start getting a little bigger, you know, it's a necessity. But that's just it. It's just a relaxed atmosphere, and if you're doing no wrong, you get ignored pretty good. You know, you can just do what you want to do.
It's a southern farm in a southern town, but the beauty of this is sort of like when you go to Thanksgiving dinner and you want to eat that meal, but you have to eat with your family, and you know how that goes. After about 2 or 3 hours, you're all ready to go home because you've had enough of your family. Well, this is sort of like coming to that big Thanksgiving meal, but all your family are the people you want to hang out with. They all have similar interests, similar likes. We all love the music. We all get along. And when you pull in, it's just a wonderful thing. I mean, you pull in and everyone just waves all the way down the way. You're like, oh, there's the next new guy. You run into so many people here that you see them and they're in their festival garb, and you don't realize they're vice president of an engineering firm or president of a bank, you know, and all the, you know, or a vegetable grower or whatever, you know. It's just so many walks, and the music brings everyone together, and this is the best sense of community of any place that I've probably ever been in my whole life.
That was Brooke Searles, another friend I made over the weekend. His insight about the festival was echoed by many others I talked to, and it was ringing true by now. It really is unique, and although it had some parallels to festivals like Leaf or, even more so, Green Acres back in the day, Skunk was its own animal, so to speak. But Green Acres had the most in common, I think. It was all done for the love of music, too, and brought some pioneering artists to the foothills of Western North Carolina. Bela Fleck, Sam Bush, John Cowan, Daryl Scott, to name a few. Daryl Scott, who also played at this spring Skunk. There's a book being written about Green Acres, from what I hear, and you can find out more by contacting founder Steve Metcalf at Little King Records. The rest of Friday's lineup was Western Centuries playing the festival for the first time, then Forlorn Strangers, T-Sisters, Icy Hawks in L.A., and the second set from Stray Birds and Western Centuries before Shiny Ribs finished the day's performances. Western Centuries had a couple of names I was familiar with, Kahalen Morrison, who had records in an old-time and country direction with Eli West, and Jim Miller, a founding member of Dawn of the Buffalo. Here's one from their early set, starting off a medley of live music from the afternoon and evening.
All right, hi, everybody. It's really great to be here. This is kind of weather we're used to in Seattle. Glad I brought my wool shirt. This song is kind of about Seattle, where I live in Seattle. It's called Double or Nothing. One, two, three. as she goes, she turns her back and walks away. It all comes as no surprise, for it happens every day. I knew I had lost, and our lonely eyes did meet. I'd bring all the things she'd ask, and she'd bring me to my knees. But I'm gonna bet it on the sure thing that tonight she called me up. Says, babe, I'm the one that was wrong. I don't want us to give up. She said it's sweet and it touched my soul. She said I want the same as you. Someone to keep my fears at bay. Thank you.
Hollander, rocking that guitar. Now, we're going to ask you if you would participate with us in this next song. You guys up for that? How many cocktails in are we at this point?
We're
Put
zero.
It up
we'll
on your hands.
Up. We'll catch up with you after.
Okay, I'm seeing five. I'm seeing two. You got some catching up to do. 10. Wow. All right, watch out for that guy.
Well, we got one more song for you folks. We're our Icy Hawks in LA, and we're so glad to be back here at Skunk Fest and with all you lovely people. Thanks so much to Zig for bringing us back, and man, we hope to be back again. Special request. Sun, stars, and the sea, and humble, If I beat the DA, just 10 lonely hours to my friends in LA. Next stop is a jumbo jet, flying to the fields of Tibet. I quit my job at the 7-Eleven. I'm at North Dill Stony Heaven. Oh, oh, oh. When I cross that line, I'm feeling fine and humble. Oh, cool my mind, won't do no time and humble.
After their set, I got to talk with bassist Paul Marshall. One of the overarching questions I came in with was about the nature of Southern culture as it relates to and is expressed by music and how that relates to the people at this festival. You know, what do these Southern songs and stories really mean? Here's what Paul had to say.
Well, I started coming out to the South in like 1970 when I was working with a band called the Strawberry Alarm Clock. We did a couple of tours of the South. In fact, on those tours, Leonard Skinner opened for us because they were just getting started. And every time we've been in the South, every time I've been in the South, I feel like I'm at home, even though I was born and raised in L.A. You know, when I was growing up in L.A., there was a lot of country music, a lot of transplants to Los Angeles from Oklahoma and Texas and Arkansas and other parts of the South. And so I got to know those people real well, especially when I was learning music. And so when I started to come out to come out to the South from L.A., I just felt at home. And the music is just the kind of music I love. The people are friendly. The food is awesome. The scenery is unbelievable. You know, it's just the best. So I'm always up for a trip to the South. And whenever I come, I feel like rejuvenated, you know, refreshed. It's the greatest.
There are some more good comments about this subject, which you can hear in Episode 3. We're closing in on the finale of this episode with an excerpt of Shiny Ribs, who headlined both Friday and Saturday nights. I've been a fan of Kev Russell for many years, since he was in the Gourds. Never got to see the Gourds or Shiny Ribs, though, so I was largely unprepared for the impact of their set. It was terrific.
All right, y'all gonna be here tomorrow? We're gonna be here tomorrow.
That's right.
We played all the tame stuff tonight. Tomorrow we're gonna do all the dirty dancing music, okay? So wear your dirty dancing finest. Whatever that is. Sweet potato. We'll do sweet potato tomorrow, I promise. We're gonna leave this one right here. This is about a whole state, Texas, about East Texas Rust. Get the money. I don't know.
Thank you.
Shiny Ribs! Shiny Ribs! Festival!
That's just a taste of Shiny Ribs, an eight-piece band that closed out Spring Skunk Fest on Friday night. That's all for now, and thanks for listening. Please support the artists you've enjoyed hearing on this podcast and the festival. Of course, we appreciate your support here at Southern Songs and Stories, too. There's a lot more to come in Episode 3 and the conclusion of our series. We're going to see music. Can we get a festival?
Festival!